So I'm going to start off by just saying that my sermon was already preached through all the stuff that was going on. It's and so we'll jump in anyways, but since the Lord has already changed the feel and the flow of the service, we're going to continue to roll with it. I had a very strong impression in my prayer time that we were going to spend some time in the altar, and many of you guys made an altar at your seat. And I knew that beforehand. I was like, this is what the Lord's going to do. And my wife just started running with it. She's like, is this okay? I'm like, oh no, this is what he told me was going to happen. I just didn't have an idea. So me and my traditionalist mind, I'm going to preach a sermon. I'm going to tell people to come to the altar. And that's how it's going to go. And the Lord had something different in mind. But I do know that we're going to continue to just kind of pause as we look at certain things in scripture. And we're going to continue to stop and pray. Is it all right? I think there's a lot of business that the Lord wants to get done through us. And I think he wants to continue to break us out of our molds, just like he's trying to break me out of my molds. You know, I have some molds and things that I like, certain consistencies and patterns and stuff like that. And we all have our own. But it doesn't change the fact that our Lord is spirit. He is a person. He has a personality. And he will do that which he wants to do, whether we ask his permission or not. And we have a choice in the matter. We can either resist the move of the Spirit and then go back to what we're familiar with, or we can say, Lord, I will yield my will to yours, and I desire for you to do what you want to do. You know, I love some of the imagery that the Lord just lays out there in life all day for us all, you know, especially like with husbands and wives and children. And how many of you guys have had to just yield what you wanted to do to your partner because you had a better way? And then you're like, you know what? Sometimes fighting this is not ideal, beneficial, or good. I should just yield and trust that there could be another way that things can be done, though it sometimes breaks my mind to think about. So, Father, once again, we say, Lord, move. We trust you and we thank you. And we ask that what you want to communicate to those that are hearing and under the sound of my voice, you would communicate. Amen again. All right. Keith, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you. So, before I jump into the scriptures, I wanted to just reiterate the beautiful opportunity that we have to wrestle through the scriptures in this Bible study. My wife talked about it really, really well. This is on February 28th. It's actually an incredibly exciting time. It's like the highlight of my month to sit down and have the potential to talk about the scriptures for almost 6 hours. I'm like, that is like filling my love tank and a half. And those who talk to me know that if you want to fill my love tank, just call me up and let's talk about the scriptures. I love talking about the scriptures. I love wrestling with things that I don't know. Oh, Keith, could you do me a favor? Oh, never mind. I'll grab it myself. Sorry, Greg, if I'm messing up your shots. My notes are over here. I just walked out of the frame. But either way, it just really fills my love tank just to wrestle through scriptures. I don't even want people to always agree with me. I like the ones that actually show me something different and press me on certain things. I just find life in it. And so I just wanted to remind us that we have a couple things that go on here. A lot of you guys have attended like Lisa Fess's shepherding group. It is very, very good. It's typically very impactful with the presence, if you will. But this one is a little bit different in light of how we're approaching things. So it's a little bit more academic. We encourage people to bring a notebook and some resources to wrestle through the scriptures and really engage your mind in light of how we do the scriptures. So it's, again, a very relaxed atmosphere. So people can kind of go and come as they desire. If you're a Bible junkie and you want to come to both of them back to back, if you're the right age for the second one, of course, feel free to do so. And so I'm going to just remind you guys, please come out. We do tackle various things, insights, questions, applications, cross-references, observances, anything to just take the scriptures a little bit deeper. Amen? All right, so that's enough of that. Walking in the Spirit. That's the title of my message. It's actually, in my opinion, I think it's a bit of a weaker message, a weaker title for my message, because there's been a number of things and a number of conversations that I've been having with a number of you guys, as well as other leaders and other, you know, just members, people, the body of Christ in general, in the general sense. And there's just been a lot going on, and I have had a season of hearing of the work of the enemy all over the place. I've had conversations with many leaders where they've been up throughout the course of the night in travail, praying and wrestling, whether they're wrestling for their neighbor or wrestling for themselves. There's been a lot of confession that have been coming up, people saying, man, I am struggling with like anxieties, depressions, anger, lust, that are, you name it, and that has been in my conversations. But then also at the same time, I have been getting conversations, parallel conversations, of great releases of revelation. And it's funny, in some of the conversations I've had with other people, they have made it very clear, yeah, the enemy is doing all this stuff because he wants us to walk in shame. Because if you're walking in shame, you start second-guessing things. It's almost like that scripture that's mentioned in 1 John. I believe it's 1 John chapter 4, where it says that if our hearts condemn us, we do not have confidence before God. We lose it because our heart is condemning us. Amen? And so we want to get to a place where we're like, Lord, we are trusting in you and in your work. Yes. We're trusting in you and in your work because you said that you are faithful to complete that work. And we are just yielding ourselves as living sacrifices unto you for you to do that which you want to do. And not be distracted by our enemy. Because the fact of the matter is, some of us, and those I've had those conversations with, and I've even had to confess, even talking to my own leaders, and I'm like, man, I am going through X, Y, and Z, 1, 2, and 3, and I could use some prayer support. And the funny thing is, a lot of times we want to look at ourselves and think that it's because we're indulging in something that we ought not to. And more often than not, it might be because you're right in the will of the Lord. And because you're right in the will of the Lord, you are now standing on the, for lack of a better term, the offensive. And our enemy is not feeling it and not liking it. And he's going to do anything he can to knock you off your rocker. And the funny thing is, while we're talking about these things and the moving of the Spirit, it really is very much an enigma for me, more often than not. Like, I look at things and even the various things that my wife was doing, and I'm like, Lord, this is beyond me. But Lord, I see you. I can experience you. I can see enough in some of my other senses to say, okay, Lord, there's something here, though I don't always get it. And the fact of the matter is, we're not always going to get it. The Lord has encouraged us to be obedient to the things that he's asked us to do. And the things that he asks us to do are seemingly weak. They do not lean into the strength that you may have as an individual. There's a lot of individuals in this room. I know there's a lot of people who are watching me. You are definitely what I would call the brighter crayon in the box. You have giftings, abilities, and skill sets, and you can solve a problem. Any brothers in the room that knows what I'm talking about who's like, yo, let me just solve this problem, right? And so because of which, there is a temptation to lean into what we can do before we lean into the presence of the Lord, the leading of the Spirit. That's one of the biggest temptations I have. I'm like, I can fix this. I know exactly what I can do to work this out and make this work. And then there are times I do exactly what I know to do to make it work. And guess what? It don't work. It don't work. Because if we do not trust the Lord for that which we do not see, then how are we going to succeed? It's carnal. So, and the funny thing is, you know, often we have turned spiritual matters into cliches. They're so common, we just talk about it. Talk about angels, talk about demons. Oh, that's nothing but the devil. And we say all these things. And more often than not, especially at moments or times of death or loss, we really start thinking about the significance of what is to come. But as soon as those moments pass, we're not even thinking about it as much. We're just doing life based upon what we see and experience. All right? So, like I said, I'm going to be very transparent before you guys, because even for me, I've had a lot of odd and weird spiritual experiences. You know, just to be honest, there have been times people have prophesied. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Where people have said certain things. And it gets really murky. A lot of you guys have heard the message that I shared before about the challenge of a prophet and the challenge of the work of the prophet to even prophesy. Because the thing is, most people don't realize that not every prophet enjoys the message that they have to share. You know what I mean? It's the truth. They just don't always enjoy it. And sometimes we think that even when they're seemingly wrong, they may actually be right. And that was the example that we kicked out concerning Jonah. You know, Jonah had made a prophecy in 40 days the city was going to be overturned, and then it made the prophet look like a liar because of what he expected. But honestly, what did God do? He did overturn the city. It's just not what the way he thought it was going to be overturned. And so therefore, we need to just be really careful with how we assess things. Look carefully, and again, not lean into our own understanding. So, I will say this. This is something that I wrote out a specific way to share with you guys. So if you want to write this down, one's lack of understanding should not be grounds for resistance, but inquiry. One's lack of understanding should not be grounds for resistance, but inquiry. Now, again, I'm being very vulnerable and transparent because I have what I would like to consider a logical mind. I like to think things through, get my ducks in a row. And the Lord has had me on this beautiful journey with a lot of men that love and fear the Lord that I respect. And they have really messed up my box that I tried to put the Lord in. And so I'm going to invite you into that and say, hey, do the same. Do the same, all right? Sometimes we put so much confidence in Scripture, and I will tell you this. Satan is not concerned about your knowledge of Scriptures, but the spirit and the heart behind the Scriptures when it is embraced. It's about the heart. Not about the knowledge, but the heart behind it. You know, it's funny. I think about even Stephen, where he was sharing Scripture, and it wasn't necessarily a problem that he was just sharing truth of Scripture, but when he started throwing in there the heart behind it that brought conviction, now it was a problem, and it was going to take his life, and it did so. All right? Let's look at some Scriptures. Are you guys ready? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Man, there's a weight in the room. Kind of like it. You guys there? This is New King Jimmy. And you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God... I love those statements, but God. We've kicked out those statements, but God. Who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Amen. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. I hear Al's voice continuing as he was singing over and over again, come up, come up, come up. heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see, that's the part that the Lord is trying to deal with in all of us. You can't boast. I can't boast, and nor can you. Because of which, again, it is by grace through faith that you're saved. It's because of your belief. For we, verse 10, are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, the thing is, as we talk about walking in the Spirit, we also have to recognize that there is more than one Spirit to walk in. This verse we just read in the very beginning that we spoke of a little bit, what we call the spirit of the age, if you will. And it's funny, I spent a little bit of time meditating on the world or worldliness. And I was like, what is the world? When the Lord speaks of the world or the world systems, we are not to love the world. And the funny thing is, as I was meditating on it, and this is not necessarily a textbook definition, but it's something that the Lord had given me while I was meditating and wrestling with this, is that the world consists of evil spirits that man has partnered with. So when men partner with evil spirits, any spirit that is not the Holy Spirit, and we yield our resources, our strength, our creativity to that, that is the world and its systems. Because the thing is, our enemy cannot create anything. He needs man's agreement. And when man agrees, that is what happens. However, the Lord has given us an invitation to agree with his spirit. Amen? Here, another quotable statement. It's almost the same thing I just said. But the world and its systems is man's agreement with the Spirit using his gifted creativity to advance hostile kingdoms against God. The world. A hostile kingdom against God. I sure can. For those online, someone asked me to repeat it. Chances are you were on your couch and did the same. The world and its systems is man's agreement with the Spirit using his gifted creativity, man's gifted creativity, to advance a hostile kingdom against God. Okay? Yeah, one more time. The world and its systems is man's agreement with the Spirit using his gifted creativity to advance a hostile kingdom against God. All right. Now, in light of the conversations that I've been having, like I said, there's been sicknesses, flares of infirmities, depressions, anxieties, all this stuff. And when we think about these things as it attacks us or does its stuff, we have to be more aware of what's going on in the spirit and then act accordingly. Now, what I'm going to press against, I've had a number of conversations with people, because one of the things that happens when you have these conversations with people and they say, this is what's going on, only like a couple of people, which, and it's not necessarily just for these people, but like literally a couple of people, and they were like leaders, were the ones that immediately said, we're going to pray. We prayed right there on the spot, on the phone, or if I was in person with them, and they prayed. And they addressed those nuances. Now, the thing is, as believers, more often than not, we get into our religious ruts in how we pray, right? I'm going to pray for my mama. I'm going to pray for my sister. And one of the churches I used to go to, they used to always say, Lord, I just thank the Lord for me getting to the church safely, because I could have got into a car accident, but God. And I said, well, you're right. You're not wrong. And the thing is, sometimes our enemy is present. We are aware that things are not right, but yet we don't talk to the Lord about those things. You have an insight. It's like the spiritual gifts that are talked about in Romans 12 and Corinthians 12, they're all there, right? But yet there's some that we just never talk about, like the discerning of spirits. Have you walked into your house and realized something was out of order and you knew it wasn't you? But yet sometimes we just shrug our shoulders and go on about our day. Have you encountered a loved one and all of a sudden you realize that they're out of sorts? Don't we all know confidently that all things seen are held together by things unseen? Now, again, just so you know, I'm stretching. I'm like, Lord, I'm saying stuff that I don't even fully understand, but I know it's to be true. Things seen are held together by things unseen. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to continue down your own religious rut and pray about the same things you always pray about? Or are you actually going to say, I'm going to address what I see in the room? I'm going to address what I see in myself. I'm going to address what I see in others because of my love for them. And I say the enemy is on the move against them and I can see it and they don't see it. Are you going to contend? Are you going to be a little bit more abstract in how you pray and say, Lord, this is not what I normally bring before you, but I'm going to bring it before you today. Right? There you go. I like what Al just said. For those of you guys who did not hear it, he says, and we take authority over it. Yeah. And it's funny, even in light of prayer, I've had to go on a bit of a journey. I'll give a little bit more of a kudos towards Al. I remember praying for somebody during a deliverance time. We're just praying and helping somebody work out some stuff in their own life. And Al had to call me out and said, Ron, you're being a little too polite. And the reason why, my own personal rut. The reason why is my prayer life consisted of consistent communication with the Father, making requests. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes, though I don't think it should be the regular diet of a believer, but sometimes we have to bind things that are not the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked to other spirits. And sometimes we don't even have a grid to even think about what is that all about? He talked to them, commanded them, told them to move. Does that make sense? And so sometimes we spend so much time talking to the Lord, which is not bad. Please don't get me wrong. It is not bad to talk to the Lord, that when something else shows up, we don't even have any tools to even know where to begin. What's going on here? What's this? I don't know. June, I don't know. Call the pastor. But you get the idea. Amen? And I want us to be more equipped, honestly. I want us to be more equipped. We see things going on in the lives of our children, our grandchildren, and the Lord has given you a measure of authority that we don't exercise. Sorry, my notes closed on me. All right. I was thinking a little while ago while we were wrestling through this and I was considering all these variables that were going on. I couldn't help but to focus on Daniel's interactions. So once again, you guys know we're about to hit Daniel. And I have already read about 3 books on Daniel preparing for this class. I'm just really excited and there's a lot of life on it. But how many of you guys are aware that in Daniel chapter 10, there was a prayer that was released and his answer was hindered in coming forth because of powers in the air, right? And the thing is, we can be in that place where we are releasing prayers and making decrees and things are hindered because of powers in the air. And it's funny, even when you look at the situation and circumstance, it was tied to a promise that the Lord had made to Israel, that their exile was going to come to an end. And also you have had promises. Like the funny thing is, the Lord has been moving in such a dynamic and in a beautiful way in this place, right? And some of us have been told promises that the Lord is going to do. And some of them are already right in front of us. All we have to do is lay a hold of it and say thank you. But yet at the same time, we are hindered because of whatever on the inside. And there's an enemy that's saying, hold up, they're getting too close to the promise. They're getting too close to a testimony. They're getting too close to being able to declare hope about the goodness of the Lord. And he has been resisting strongly. That's why I shared this stuff that I say. I'm like, wow, there's so many believers that are like, why am I struggling so bad right now? Because you're that close. Because the thing is, we have said it before that our enemy will relent even at 90% of the victory for you if you stop pressing. If you stop your press. He's like, oh, I'll let you have this much victory. And I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone. Just stop talking to me. Stop praying. Stop pressing. And then as soon as you stop and you get kind of relaxed, he comes back in full force. When, honestly, pardon the expression, whatever situation and circumstance that we were dealing with needed to be decapitated. The head needed to be removed. Amen? It's that level of victory that we need. We have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, not that I have fought this thing, but I have conquered this thing. Amen? Here. There was two particular chapters I got to look at in light of the promises and the glory of what God is doing in many of our hearts. We're going to look at Jeremiah 29:11. And then there's another verse in Jeremiah 31 I'm going to hit off. But these are all very, very common verses that many of us have quoted. We have highlighted in our scriptures. I'm going to read them out loud just so they can sink in. Some of these I have challenges in even reading out loud without coming to tears because of the wonder of what the Lord is doing for us all. Amen. You guys there yet? 29:11. Yep. Well, I'm going to start off at verse 10. Here we go. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I have caused you to be carried away. Captive. Some of us, though this was a statement that was clearly said to Israel, tied to their Babylonian exile, but many of us have been yanked into an exile, yanked into a place where you have just been bound either in sin or circumstance, seeking to be liberated, and the Lord is determined to liberate you. Jeremiah 31. Hang on 1 second. Thank you for asking. We'll start off at 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the hand of Egypt, or the land of Egypt, I'm sorry. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and say, man, and say, teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquity and their sins I will remember no more. Like, when we consider grace and read things like this, this is the work of the Lord. He said he was going to do this. He's going to do this. And the funny thing is, it's not even about what we do to merit this or to gain this. It's all about us embracing, Lord, you're going to do this. And I believe you at your word that you're going to do this. And it's just a heartfelt, loving response. And it's pleasing to him. And it seals his word upon your heart, because you're just saying, Lord, I receive it. I'm taking it. You died for it. One more, Hebrews chapter 8. Another statement in the same vein, right over here in the New Testament. Starting up in verse 7. This is Hebrews chapter 8, starting up in verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. And none of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. Almost verbatim, amen. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. The Lord's new covenant. Now, it's funny, we're going to flip over to Galatians chapter 5, and we're just going to touch this briefly because of time. The Lord has given us spiritual tools, if you will, to do spiritual warfare, all right? So we're all going to go back to Sunday school for a brief moment. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God, right? And again, more often than not, these tools can seem very foolish, because it puts, again, no confidence in the flesh. None. You know, shield of faith, salvation on the head, you know, a belt of truth, gospel, good news. What in the world is this supposed to do about warfare? How does this actually sustain me? But it does. It does. So, Galatians 5, I'm going to encourage you guys on your own time to meditate on Ephesians chapter 6. Because even in the middle of that, it even reminds us again that we do not war against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. More often than not, we in the church, and many of us have been incredibly too distracted with our neighbor. Way too distracted. Right? We mentioned this person and that person, this church and that church, this family member and that family member, this politician and that. We're focusing all on the people, not realizing that there is something in the air that is moving them to do things against God. And more often than not, we don't take the time to say, Lord, help me to see this person as you do, so that we can actually appropriately pray and contend for them. But instead, we throw our neighbor in the same boat as the enemy. Carelessly, frivolously, without earnestly praying. Galatians chapter 5. Here you go, Galatians 5. Starting off at verse 16. I quote this often, but I think it's a very seasonal word for us. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'll read that again. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, that is an amazing statement, because we have made it all about, I got to stop this, I got to stop doing that, I got to do this, I got to do that. I actually had a conversation with a beloved family member, and they were going through, just like everybody else I was talking to, who was going through, and it's like, you know what, I just got to do this, and if I just do this, everything would be, I just got to do it. I was like, you can't do it. You can't. I'm like, why didn't you ask me to pray? I said it was a beloved family member. I'm like, why didn't you ask me to pray? Well, you know, I just got to do what I got to do. I heard you the first time. But the fact of the matter is, we fail to realize or recognize the picture that the Lord has given us about us being a body. We're a body. And more often than not, we get ashamed and embarrassed, because that's the work of the enemy, to get you to feel shame about what you struggle with, so much so that you don't invite someone else in. When the Lord wants you to invite someone else in. Like, I remember, and I'm just being very honest and transparent, the beautiful times where I've had to talk to a brother. Sometimes Al recently, because Al's the main one I've been talking to, because he's been such a help to me in light of being and walking in the assignment that is before me. And confessing things. And after confession, more often than not, we expect a certain kind of response from people. And he didn't give it to me that way. It was more of a loving embrace, an encouraging word, and an encouragement to actually cause me to bolster and courage to keep a fight. I remember times, even when I've messed up, even with my wife, and how beautiful the forgiveness was from her that disarmed so many lies from the enemy, because she was so willing to be patient and still contend for the fullness of my identity, even when sin was present at my feet, because of dumb stuff I may have done or said. Right? And what's sad is many of us don't even know that that can actually exist with other people, that you can confess a fault and immediately find beautiful support and encouragement. And the reason why we don't speak is because the enemy has bound our tongue. Because he's like, well, you're struggling with this. Why? You've been struggling with this for so many years. They're going to be ashamed of you if you talk about what you're struggling with. Not realizing that him keeping you in that space hinders the entire body from moving forward. And when you embrace these ideas, you get, I don't even know how to best describe it. I was reading another book, and somebody was talking about how when the body of Christ is not functioning like a body, it's almost like functioning like a cancer. Always looking in the inside, feeding yourself, but not feeding anybody else, not looking to serve anybody else. And you're just this odd mass growing on the side that just won't get right. And the Lord is saying, no, that's not how I designed this thing. You are a body. You are actually meant to yield to others to say, help. And you're also meant to help others. There's no sin that overtakes anyone except for that which is common to man. You know what that means? What you're going through ain't new. That's what it means. What you're going through ain't new. Verse 17, Galatians chapter 5. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, it's funny, we read these all the time. I don't think we actually pause to think about this more often. But look at that. So that you do not do the things that you wish. How many of us have had things that we've desired to do and haven't done it? Give the encouraging word. Didn't do it. Pray about a situation and circumstance. Didn't do it. Spend a little bit more time meditating on scriptures. Didn't do it. And it's a desire. It's a strong desire, and many of you, because you guys tell me. Right? Strong desire. And the Lord gave us the picture. He says, hey, you know what? Your flesh and your spirit are at war with each other. And sometimes, depending on your actions, that should be an indicator as to which one's stronger. What's stronger? And we have to be sober that, you know what? If I'm not doing these things that I desire to do, and the desires do no more than solidify your identity. So if you actually question whether or not you're the Lord, but you keep desiring to do the right thing, let me tell you, you're the Lord's. But you're weak. You're weak. And see, to be a good shepherd, if you will, is not just to stroke your emotions and make you feel pretty good after you leave here all the time. But sometimes they say, hey, sometimes the reasons why we're not experiencing the fullness of what God has for us is because we're weak. You know? But, praise the Lord, because there's a glory in our weakness. Because when we are weak, He is, yeah. And sometimes, us fooling ourselves to think that we're strong, we're hindering the Lord's revealed strength. Amen? I'm not going to go into this next section. I think this is a great place to just stop and to pray. Yeah. I'll end it with this last verse. This is a great place to stop for now. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You're not under your rules. A bunch of rules and regulations. You're under the Spirit. We're under the Spirit. And that is incredibly liberating. Amen? We'll wrestle through some more of this in the future. Coming up soon, I think it's next month, right, Al? We're going to be tag teaming back and forth, me and you. We're going to have a Ron Al duo for a month. You better put on your seatbelts. Let's pray. And let's ask the Lord to help us walk in the Spirit. And also to help us to mature our dialogue with Him, to mature our prayer life, to bring more things before Him, to do the appropriate warfare, to take the appropriate dominion. We already know in Romans chapter 8, it speaks of it, saying that all of creation is groaning, waiting for us to wake up and take dominion. Amen? Holy Spirit, you have given us an identity in you. You have called us to be a kingdom of priests. You have called us royalty. You have given us authority and dominion. Lord, we desire to walk in the fullness of the identity that you've given us. Lord, we desire in no way to be bound with the yoke of slavery when you died to liberate us. And Lord, in no way do we desire to yoke ourselves to the law again, thinking that it's based upon what we do will yield a specific result. Lord, we know that it is you. You raise up and you tear down. And Lord, we say collectively, as a family, as a body, we trust you. And we welcome your headship over our lives. Yes. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your moving. And I say again, Lord, mature us in love in your holy and mighty name. Amen.